Hello, fellow watch lovers, nerds, enthusiasts, or however you identify. You're listening to 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast with your hosts, Andrew, and my good friend, Everett. Here, we talk about watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like. Everett, how are you?
Terrific. Just really enjoying summer things. Summer.
Yes.
Summer.
Full summer.
Summer. Summer songs, you know, like on my Apple playlist, summer music has been coming on.
Mm.
I've been golfing a lot.
I appreciate all the invitations you've extended to me. Thank you.
Well, yeah. I'm not a member of a club, so I'm always the invitee.
Mm.
I'm very rarely the invitor.
I can speak to that.
Yeah, because I don't have a membership anywhere. So,
oh, I mean, we don't have to be members places.
There are places we can play, but I do play the country clubs a lot because I hang out with lawyers and their members.
That's fair. That's fair.
But yeah, all the summer things, man. All of the summer things have been just terrific. I love it. I love all the summer things.
Yeah. And you're down a kid at camp. That's amazing.
That's right. We were supposed to be down two, but one of them had a fever on the day it was supposed to go. Actually, he got it the day before. And it was like, well, and then, you know, we have one of those Braun like forehead.
Yeah. I hate those.
You know, I think they do a good job of whatever, something. But we were getting readings of like 109 degrees, and it's like, this is maybe not, you know, he wasn't sick. He was sick. He's clearly sick, but he wasn't like vomiting or incapacitated or even particularly uncomfortable. We could tell he was warm. And so I was like, well, that's ridiculous. But then we put an oral monitor in it. He was like 104.8.
That's hot.
We read a little bit and it was like, this happens sometimes, especially if the kid runs hot. If he's not uncomfortable or vomiting, or, you know, you're fine. But it was like 104.8 is the highest fever I've ever personally witnessed.
That's when I get fevers. That's my zone.
That's crazy, Mike. Yeah. That's crazy. I don't think I've ever had I don't think I've ever had a hot fever that high. Not even close.
That's where my fevers hang. It's unpleasant.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lou's actually, he was pretty cool the whole time. He was like, I don't really feel too bad. I got a cough. I kind of got a headache. I'm tired.
We took one of our kids in for 104 degree fever one time. Because they say 104, go to the ER. And we get there and the doctor's like, well, why is he here? It's like, well, because the fever's 104. And that's what they say. 104, go to the ER. And they're like, well, yeah, they say that, but you know, the reality is like,
if they're not dying, if their
fever isn't causing them to be weird, if their fever makes them weird, then, you know, then bring them in. I was like, so what's the number? It's like, well, they're weird. Like there's no number, which is like every time you go to the emergency room, the ER docs are always like, well, you know, they say that. Yeah. But you know, the reality is like when Calvin said he swallowed a battery last month or whatever, and I took him to the ER and the doctor's like, well, they say that it can dissolve and break open in their body and that you have to come to the emergency room right away, but we don't really even do anything. We just kind of like, you know, do like an hourly x-ray and make sure it's like moving through their body, and if it gets lodged or something, then we're kind of worried about it. But honestly, we just like watch it progress through. Like, well, why can't I do that at home? Well, because, you know, there's a really small chance.
Well, you don't have an x-ray machine at home.
Right, but why can't we just let him pass it at home? And he's like, well, there's a really small chance that the battery could rupture, or like maybe it hangs out in their stomach too long, or like, I mean, it's just like, it's a precautionary thing. I'm like, God, I hate the inconsistency between like medical advice and then the reaction you get from ER doctors.
But that's totally pragmatic, right? Like, if you publish on the internet, if you swallow a battery, don't go to the doctor, and someone dies, then you look like a fucking moron. or you get sued or worse.
I get that, but it's
the
just,
ER doctors have to be pragmatic. They're like, well, look, there's nothing we can do. Like, we're like, we don't have the.
And but, yeah, he was also like,
we're not going to cut your kid open.
He was also showing some really good, like, reassuring bedside manner, as if I was concerned, even though I was not. I was like, he showed me the X-ray and was like, look, we don't see any battery in here. This is what a battery would look like on an X-ray. So we know it. I was like, dude, I know there's not a battery in there. I can also look at an X-ray and be like, there's nothing metallic inside this human person. I don't need the, like, I don't need reassurances right now. Thank you. I appreciated him, but I was not in the mood for him. As with most trips to the emergency room. Yeah. That one time for the 104 degree fever, I did not appreciate that doctor, though. He was kind of an asshole. He's like, well, he's just a fever. I'm like, well, like, I'm not the asshole here. Anyhow.
Yeah, we didn't go to the emergency room, Andrew.
109. Those are so inaccurate. They, like, you got to, like, average three readings.
I tell you, for me, it's like 97.8 every time exactly. And, like, I tested on Kim, and she was like 98.2 exactly every time. And he was, like, on the side of his head 109, in the center 107. Like, so I think it maybe he just runs hot. But, yeah, anyway. I don't actually want to talk about emergency rooms or sick ever again. On this show, like, this has just been like the worst 3 minutes of 40 and 20 ever for me. Perhaps.
It's up there.
We're here to talk about watches, Andrew.
Oh, as per usual, that's what we're doing. That's we're talking watches.
That's what we do. I didn't ask you how you're doing. How are you doing?
Ooh, I am good. I'm also enjoying all the summer things. I took a nap today. Because I'm down a kid at camp, and I had exactly...
Is Mark at Tadmore?
No, he is at Harlow.
Oh.
For elementary school kids, they do like a truncated overnight camp. So it's a three-day camp, and we'll pick them up tomorrow. and I go to drop them off, and it was like so full. So they have these like auxiliary wagon cabins that look like Conestoga wagons. And they're just wide enough to have an aisle down the middle of the bunk beds and an actual canvas top.
Oh, those are cool.
Yeah. Whatever. I personally would be really irritated if I was going to a camp, was expecting to stay in a cabin, and then got thrown in a wagon. But he was jazzed about it. And when we got there, they've never done this before, and I've dropped them off there several times. Like, all right, we're doing a lice check. Meanwhile, they're throwing all the mattresses out of these wagon cabins. And as people are like, oh, what's going on? They're like, oh, these mattresses don't fit the beds, so we're just putting new mattresses in that fit the beds. And they're doing lice checks for the first time. And I was like, oh, fucking hell. He better don't come home with lice, because somebody clearly brought it.
Yeah,
lice, and then they terrible. And then they sent them away. And there's, you know, several hundred kids at this camp. He's going to bring home enough yuck. We don't need also lice. But so we're down a kid. So I was at home today with absolutely no responsibilities, no kids, no pickups or drop-offs. And I was like, I'm gonna watch Back to the Future and then take a nap. And that's exactly what I did. So I'm great.
Do you watch the OG?
I watched all three. That was how I spent my morning, and then took a two-hour nap.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fantastic. So good day. I'm enjoying the summer. I'm awesome. And we're talking watches.
And we're talking watches, yeah.
So shall we?
I suppose we shall. You As we kick, both you, slowly. Hey, I want to talk about a watch that is... So what's the name of this brand? The name is... Bowen? Bowhen? Bowen? So Bowen is a watch brand that I've seen before. I think they've done two releases before now. I think they're 4 years old. They're prior two models, the Mille Mer and the Star Diver. Both of these watches came across my virtual desk, aka my cell phone screen, at some point, and I think I had them in like candidates to be discussed, And at the end of the day, I was like, meh, meh, because they were really cool, but they just weren't for me. So one of them, I think, was a 17 millimeter watch, and the other was like a 15 millimeter watch, you know, just
thickness,
big, thick, yeah, thick, chunky watches. Beautiful, absolutely gorgeous, beautiful watches. But I, like, at the end of the day, I was like, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling this watch. So Bowen this week released their third watch, and I think this is a watch that I could get into. So it is called the Grand Marine. It is a, again, this is a chunky watch. This is a chunky watch. It is not, you could not describe this as a thin watch. It is,
it's 12.8. That's not, for a 600 meter watch, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But what I would say about it is it's like chunky. The bracelet looks to me like at the top link, it's about 6 millimeters thick.
Yeah,
it's the clasp robust. Is like heavily overbuilt. All the features are chunky. It's got a big coin edge sit on top bezel. It's got these big sort of angular crown guards. I'm talking about the things that are chunky because it does it does have some chunkiness. With that said, it is an absolutely stunning watch. 600 meters of water resistance, 12.8, porthole dial, sort of great detail, great depth of the dial. It's got applied markers. I'm having a little bit of trouble finding the details about this watch. I do feel like at some point I had them up.
It is 41 millimeter case, 48 lug to lug, 12.8 thick, 22 millimeter lug width, tapers down to a 16. So even though it's a big chunky bracelet, it tapers really nicely. Mm. And that clasp is gargantuan. Like it looks like it weighs more than the watch.
Where are you seeing?
I went to their website, which is not super mobile friendly.
It is not. It is not.
Here's an interesting thing that I really like is they offer the option of a crown left or right option.
Mm-hmm.
Which also, it's not just a crown position. The helium release valve also changes position to coincide with the crown. So they've got two cases that this watch is being manufactured in. And I dig
that. You don't think it's just rolled over?
No, because the helium release valve moves from the 2 to the 10.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the polar.
I see. Yeah, interesting. So diving extension link on this thing, automatic helium release valve, not that anybody cares about that.
Oh, maybe they are just rolling it over as I'm looking at the crown left position.
Yeah, I think they are. GR5 titanium. Okay, so they have to do, so it's a stainless steel watch, but to get it as thin as this is, they had to manufacture a case back out of titanium. I won't pretend to understand the engineering there, but there's some engineering there. 3.5 millimeter thick sapphire on the top and a really, really terrifically beautiful dial. They've got, I don't know if this is proprietary, but they say Hyperloop. Mm-hmm. Their own formula based on concentrated rare earths. That sounds like bullshit to me. But whatever.
For the loom, it's Superluminova. Densified Superluminova X1.
Well, they call it Hyperloom. They say it's a proprietary material, but whatever. Yeah, this thing's terrific. And because it's 12.8, so it's still a big, beefy FU watch, but at 12.8, like this thing's going to be wearable. So what are the other specs? It's
SoProd movement. I can't find, I'm not seeing which SoProd they're using, but a 600 meter depth rating. This is a, like a baller dive watch, and it at 2,250 euros. So, you know, 2,400 bucks.
Yeah.
This is spec'd and designed exactly what I'd expect of a $2,500 dive watch.
Agreed. Yeah. And oh, here we go.
From a brand that like just never has really been on my radar.
Oh yeah, they don't say what movement it is, but it is a SoProd movement, 100% of components manufactured in Switzerland. So
I like the hands on this.
Yes, actually, I don't love the hands. I was going to say I like the hands too, but I actually don't. That's probably my least favorite thing about
the watch. As I look at them more, they look like butt plugs.
Yeah, they've kind of got like a
butt plug.
They've kind of got like a prequel, a Star Wars prequel trilogy vibe to them.
A little bit, yeah. But the rest of the design is great. Big hefty crown guards. That bracelet's like really dimensional and chunky and
really sort of deep engraving on the case back. In fact, have you seen the case back pictures? That looks like that would leave a mark.
Yeah.
Like you'd wear that case back for several hours.
Yeah. I like it. This is a good pick. This is an interesting release. I'm excited to see what else comes.
I was mostly excited to be able to talk about this brand because, like I said, they've come up on my radar a few times and I was just like, meh. But this one, I'm like, okay, I see what you're doing.
Yeah, I could get down with this.
I see you, Bohin.
Bowen. I want to talk about something, a kind of fun release that is not my usual fare. So the new gray dial, Louis Erard, and
Alain Silberstein. Or maybe Alan, I don't know.
I think I don't know. I'm sorry.
Alain.
Yeah, I don't read good. I don't talk good. That's what I'm going to get.
But you look good.
Sometimes. I do have a face for radio or podcasts as we do our thing. So this collaboration is one of several that this pairing has collaborated on. And this is just a fun release. This is a gray dial with blue markers, a red 12 o'clock, multicolored hands, the smiley face emojis in lieu of the day on the day wheel with a date. It's just, it's a fun dial. It kind of like, it kind of reminds me, like this whole case and dial design reminds me of early days of Vero when we went into their shop and they were like, oh yeah, this is what we prototyped today. It's just like, this is the Tuesday watch that we decided to try out. And it kind of has that fun, whimsical feel, independent of the very whimsical, fun dial. This case, the lugs are effectively skeletonized, so they just kind of float off and then wrap around kind of like a clawfoot tub on the case. The dial is this beautiful matte gray, and it's just fun. They're making 178 of these, 4,000 Swiss francs, Sellita SW220 movement, 40 millimeter case, 11.6 thick. It's not like you're going to be able to get these, but you know, titanium case. This is just like a fun, if you've got a, you know, $5,000 to drop on something whimsical and fun, kind of watch.
Muted. I muted myself. Yeah, no, I like these. This isn't in and of itself a new watch release, but this iteration is. I do really like these Louis Erard cases with that. I think that the actual mid case is like a perfectly circular column. I think this is a fun
this is a fun way to attach a strap to a watch. It's incredibly interesting. And I think it's a great platform for these Silverstein collabs because like the whole thing's just weird and funky and it carries it through. But with like watchmaking, so often interesting, quirky watches don't have any like
chops.
Watchmaking, that's right. And this has it.
Yeah, it's a good collision of design and good watch design. It's not just a novelty.
You know, I'm going to be that guy. For $4,000, I don't love a Sellita 220. It is an Elaboré grade with a bespoke rotor. Okay.
But you're not...
Okay.
You're paying for the rest of it.
I know, but like...
It's still a novelty watch.
Yeah.
It's got a squiggly second hand.
I mean, yes and no. I don't know. I actually don't know how much Sellita 220s are. I know that they're different than the 200, but I think it's in the same range. It's a really industrial sort of commercial movement. Elaboré grade helps, but I don't know. It just feels like spend a little bit of extra money and give me a cool movement. It's a $4,000 watch.
No, I get that.
It's a $4,000 watch.
I don't know that it's the watch. It's the collaboration. It's the design. I'm not saying I'd spend this kind of money, and they're only making 178. I don't disagree with your position.
My position is just like, if you're going to sell me a watch that costs $4,000, don't give me a fucking $70 movement.
That's fair.
Like, make it, you know what, Andrew? Make it a $4,300 watch and give me some fucking banger. Give me a banger. I know Elaboré grade, okay, but it's still a fucking Sellita 200.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
All right.
I think we're
well, just... Well, then stop. Then get that timbre out of your voice.
I think this is a really fun design.
It is.
And for 178 cool pieces, I think this $4,000 is what this watch is going to cost.
I'm with you, boo-boo. I'm with you.
And smiley faces on the date?
Yeah.
I like that.
Longines?
Ooh, yes. Let's Longines it up.
So, gosh, how long ago was it? It wasn't that long ago that Longines introduced their, it's a Czech word, so I should be able to pronounce it, the Magitek?
I was going to say Majatek.
It's Czech, so yeah, maybe Majatek. Majatek? And we talked about it on the show, and I said, this is really cool. It was a remake of a 1930s watch made for the Czech Air Force. I was like, this is neat. I don't know who it's for. I don't think anybody's going to fucking buy it. It's weird and cool.
It's been in the last year. I think it was it last. It might have been Watches and Wonders last year.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. Or around that time. Mm-hmm. This is a very, very similar watch. In fact, you'd be forgiven for like looking at it and be like, wait, this isn't new, except that it is.
It's very new.
It's new. So last year's version, black dial. This year's version, dark gray dial. Okay. Okay. Last year's version, Fotina loom.
Mm-hmm.
This year's version, no Fotina loom.
Was last year's titanium?
Last year's stainless steel, this year's titanium. So this is a freaking cool watch. I think the one that came out last year was $3,850-ish. This is a little bit more than that. But
yeah, these are like five.
Not a crazy amount. It is limited, unfortunately, to 1,935 pieces.
I wonder if that's because it's a 1935 reissue.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. And they're $5,000 US. But here's what I'll say. when you zoom in on this watch, it's like, oh my god.
Yeah, this is a good 43 millimeter case, Cosque movement, 13.3 thick though, and 51.4 lug to lug. There's nothing subtle or small about this watch. It looks like it should be smaller. It looks like it should be a 38 to 40 millimeter watch. Just the dimensions on it are perfect.
And I've got a 13.3 dimension here.
Yeah, thick.
Yeah, okay. So, that's thick, but it's not crazy. I thought you said 14.3.
No. 51 lug to lug, though.
Yeah, it's a big old watch.
100 meters of water resistance. Like, this looks like it should be a fairly small watch, especially being inspired by a 30s design.
Well, it's a 30s pilot watch.
And it's the size of a damn pocket watch.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this was the size of it back in the 30s. It was a giant pilot watch.
Mm-hmm. I'm uncomfortable calling this gray, but I accept that that's what they're calling
it. They're saying it's a dark gray, and I think it's a bit of a degradé too, so it gets closer to black on the outside. So
it's charcoal. If you wore this color suit to a funeral, no one would bat an eye at you not wearing a dark suit.
Yeah, actually, it when you zoom in, it's sort of a matte texture. So the one from last year was, I think, like a gloss black. Mm-hmm. And this has got not quite a sand finish. I think once you zoom out, it's really more of a matte or a flat. But it looks a lot like charcoal. You said that. And I was like, oh, it actually looks like it could be a brick of Kingsford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I think with the silver accents and the white loom, they've taken an interesting release and made it into something that's like, ooh.
And the way the color contrast of the way titanium just looks, it doesn't matter what grade or how it's finished. Titanium just has that
darkness,
that like tule-y dark that really, really perfectly matches this grayscale dial. I'm into it. And at $5,000, I'm even down with that number.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a big number, and I've just talked a bunch of shit, so it's worthwhile to say now this has got an ETA 2892, which is maybe a little bit better movement than the 220, but it's
also in house. Like it's a manufacturer caliber ETA, so it's there. It's the Longines 8936, it's Cosque certified. Like it's got the things. It's an upgraded ETA.
I mean, and this is a tool watch, right?
As tool watch as it gets. I mean, a titanium.
And that's an appropriate movement for a tool watch, but still $5,000. So
it's Longines though, and this is like a great Longines heritage re-release. I dig releases like this, like very reach back into the catalog, keep true to the design, but pump it up in the ways that make sense.
Yeah.
Doing a titanium in this.
Doesn't this feel a little bit like a watch for a person who can like impulse buy a $5,000 novelty?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels to me like, a watch for someone that's like, yeah, it's just 5,000.
Yeah. This certainly, this doesn't hit anyone's grail list. I don't think I don't think this appeals to like the military watch people, because I think there's, though this fits in that kind of space, I think there's probably...
It's not a modern military aesthetic. It's not tactical.
But, you know, neither is like a G10, right? I mean, or any CWC, like that tonneau case.
I don't know. Maybe this is tactical with that bezel, with that like big sort of coin edge, you know, what is that? 180 degree coin edge.
Yeah. Well, that's 300... Oh yeah, on the
man.
It looks like bristles. Those look like deep cuts in there. That's gonna get some junk.
Yeah, this is a beautiful.
Clean that bitch with a toothbrush.
It is gonna get some junk. Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, it's got that floating. It's got that floating marker at 12. Does that turn with the bezel? Does that floating marker turn? Do you see what I'm talking about?
I do. I don't see how it could turn with the bezel.
Well, if the crystal if the crystal turns with the bezel,
then you're not going to get 100 meters of water resistance out of it with like a that would be a interesting technological advancement, but
you're probably right. Yeah.
That would be cool, but I don't think it's an internal rotating 12 o'clock marker.
Fine, Andrew.
It could be. I'm open to being an idiot here, but
fine. Well, I think you're probably right. All right. Well, that's all I have to say about that.
Okay. next up for me, I want to talk about the Certina DS Super PH 1000 meter STC edition.
I'm going to talk about it too.
Okay. Me first. So this is the Certina DS Super, their PH 100. It is in collaboration with the Sea Turtle Conservancy. So it's a special color and it is maybe my favorite green ever. This is gorgeous. So this is a Certina dive watch. We all know this watch. This is a collaboration where proceeds go to the Sea Turtle Conservancy. So they did a special color, you know, much the same way that other brands will do a recycled material. They've done a color and I'm here for it. The interesting part of this that kind of bugged me a little bit, but then kind of got me excited was there's no bracelet on it. It comes on this FKM rubber with orange stitching that the more I looked at it, I was like, you know, that's perfect for this watch. I don't even really know how to describe this green. How do they describe it?
Yeah, it's greener than like the Doxa Caribbean, but it's got a really similar vibe.
It's not a color matched bezel either. It's like a slightly different color green because I think color matched bezels that monochromatic look can be off-putting in a lot of instances. I like a little bit of contrast between a bezel and a dial, and this has just enough. The dial itself is kind of jadey, like I don't know. It looks like ocean. They both look like ocean greens. It's just, you know, a slightly different hue to them. Big watch, though. 43.5 diameter, 14.15 thick, 1,000 meters of water resistance, an ETA Powermatic movement. Non-limited edition, which is exciting about this because it's a special release, but non-limited edition, 1,000 euros on these. And it's, you know, Certina dive watch. The font's good on it. Everything about this is a pretty known quantity, and I dig it.
Yeah, you know, I think we talked about these last year when they came out. Certainly you and I talked about them, but I think we talked about them. They had like a limited sort of canary dial.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
And an unlimited black dial. Neither of those came on bracelets either. I think you had either the choice of like a nylon or like a vented rubber, like a Seiko style vented rubber. And I remember feeling like, so this is a remake of a 1970s Certina dive watch. That's actually a pretty freaking cool watch, 1,000 meters of water resistance. This is a remake of that 1970s watch. And so this release isn't notable, except for the color really, unless you're like a Sea Turtle collective person. It does have a Sea Turtle Conservancy logo on the back, which is fun, especially given that Certina's logo is already a turtle. So I think there's a lot of things going on. But yeah, we both had this on our list, Andrew, because that dial color is so rad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like a really rad dial. The watch, if you're curious, look at pictures because it does something. So again, automatic helium release valve on this watch. This is the first time we've ever had two automatic release valves in an episode.
Besides our HRV episode.
And it's got this like really like conical, like bezel that sits on top of the watch. I mean, this is a big chunky watch.
And it's like almost shrouded because it sinks. There's like a, it's not a full shroud. It's just a little bit.
This feels to me very, very, very Seiko. I can't think of another Swiss brand that was making this kind of watch back in the 70s.
Doxa, that's it.
Yeah, but even Doxa. I mean, really, this has got more Seiko than Doxa, I think. It's got sort of a grammar of design sort of case. It's not a grammar of design case, but it has that aesthetic. And with that big, like, conical bezel, this feels like such a Seiko. I love the fact that this is a 70s Certina.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I think this is a super rad watch, probably a bit of an underrated watch because they are $1,000.
Yeah.
They're $1,000. It's got a Powermatic, which...
It's based off a 2824. I mean...
Yeah.
This entered... And I don't know why I've never really thought of it as being in the conversation of that perfect $1,000 dive watch. And this is... This is kind of it. I think if it came on a bracelet, it would get my attention a little bit better.
Well, and you like this strap, Andrew, which I do. I think is hilarious because I think this strap looks horrendous.
It does, but the more I look at it, the more I like it.
This looks to me like a $4 AliExpress strap, and I guarantee you it is. I guarantee you can find this strap on AliExpress for under $10.
You can find everything on Ali for under $10. That's and then $14.99 for shipping.
That's not true. This is just a shitty throwaway strap. I don't like it. I wish they would do something different.
Yeah, I'd love this on a pizza rice. That's what it deserves to be on.
Or whatever. Or a proprietary. I mean, maybe this is molded, but with the stitching and everything, this just looks like junk.
It kind of looks like...
like junk.
What's that fire brand? That does
William Wood.
Yeah, William. It kind of reminds me of William Wood strap.
Yeah. It's fine. It's fine.
I like the color addition of stitching into the FKM.
I think the nice thing about this strap is there would be zero guilt in putting this on whatever the fuck I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. But put it on a beads of rice. I'll pay $1,300 to put it on a beads of rice.
I put it on a Tropic, I think.
Tropic would be good for it, but...
Yeah. $1,000. That's a great watch. It was on both of our lists.
It was. We had a lot of overlap this week.
Yeah, I mean... Speaking of, I should steal one of yours.
Oh, you're going to use Slurp me.
Well, I've only got two watches left. What do you got left?
I got a couple things left. And some of them I'm not super excited about. So, you know, feel free to snatch.
All right. I'm snatching. Mito.
Oh, yeah.
Mito, the ceramic watch brand, introduced its Ocean Star 39. It's not in ceramic. But it is to celebrate the 80th anniversary of the Ocean Star. I believe... All prior iterations of the Ocean Star have been in like 41 and change. We now have a 39 millimeter case, which I think is a good move. I think this watch deserves to be a little smaller. And this is the best part, 10.5 thick. So we've got a terrific 200 meter dive watch with like a bicolor bezel.
Yeah, there's a few releases.
And it's not too thick.
No.
And it's not too thick. Feels very Tudor to me. There is a major problem with this watch.
Does it the dial?
Well, I'm fine with the dial. It's not personally my favorite dial, but like choices, right? Choices were made. It's got this like sort of wishy-washy wave thing going on. Fine, whatever.
It looks like a like the sand on a Zen garden table.
Fine. Okay, fine. But that's not my problem. My problem is that male end link. I think that with this male end link, I know it curves down, but this feels like such a 2018 move to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 2018 move. I cannot understand releasing this end link in a watch of this caliber in 2024. I just cannot understand. Is there anyone that likes a male end link?
I don't know. It sort of makes sense with the flow of the dial.
But I don't
like it either. I'm not saying that they I think they should not have done it, but I think I see what they were trying to achieve.
In fairness, it's a miss. In fairness, it curves down. It curves down just fine, right? I'm sure it's out of the way, but aesthetically, I'm not saying from a comfort standpoint. I think for the average adult man who's likely to wear this watch, it's fine, unless you have a tiny wrist. However, you could get rid of all the questions with a female N-Link, and then you don't have to wonder. Mm-hmm. Then there's no question about whether or not it's going to work. And furthermore, it looks better.
It does.
It just looks better. It articulates, it feels better, and it looks better.
Yeah, well, it is an objectively better design.
Yeah. This feels to me like an increasingly hard to defend decision. But with that said, this is really cool. 1170 for the standard version, 1260 for the PVD with the terrible orange loom.
Comes in a couple different colors. So there is a multi black and blue, looks kind of like looking across the ocean at night.
It's a great dial color, or the colors on the black and blue are really good too.
Yeah, they transition really clean. There is a
black and gray
gradient, a weird gilted, it's like sand, but then they gilted the bezel to complement the sand, and I and
gilt markers too.
Yeah,
that one's kind of ugly.
I think that's a miss. I think if they had kept the bezel just black and white, that would have been a hit, but it's a big miss for me, dog. And then the Fotinad.
It's not even Fotina. It's like orange loom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a miss too.
Both the
black and blue and the gray, I think, are great. But the other two, I'm like, meh.
Yeah. I don't know. Mito is always a brand that I struggle with. And I know a lot of people really like them. And this isn't to bash on them. But they just, like, they don't make anything that I particularly care for. It just every time I see one, I'm like, oh, whatever. Yeah. It's a watch, and you know what, $1,000 on these.
Yeah.
$1,100. Yep. Yeah. I don't know. It's a miss for me, dog. But I see why people would like it.
I think the size is really good on this.
Oh, the size is
good. The photos of the bracelet, there are photos that make it look really good. And then I've seen other photos that make me think those photos where the bracelet looks really good are renders. So I think YMMV on whether or not the bracelet's actually going to be any good. YMMV.
Okay. Next up for me, Blancpain with a new 50 fathoms iteration. And I really like this. This is three drops, 50 fathoms in ceramic, a three-hander, a moon phase. And I remember Frank talking about the need for a diver moon phase. This might be it for him. And then a chronograph release. And, you know, it's the Bath Scaff ceramic line. These are, I mean, I love it in ceramic. These are gorgeous. And that's what we all expect from Blancpain. Doing this 50 fathoms in ceramic black is dope. And, you know, it's an exciting release. It's a cool release. It's like, it got my attention because it's something that they needed to do, and they did it, and they did it well. What are these coming in at?
A lot. Yeah, a lot of money.
Like 26 grand.
Yep. That's for the calendar and chronograph, and 21 for the diver. for the automatic.
Yeah. Which I don't know.
Well, it's blanc pond. That's right.
It's you know,
so the
unobtainium, but it's gorgeous. And I'd like one in PBD because I like the blacked out dive watch, but ceramic is super cool.
You know, I know that Blancpain's released these in ceramic before, but I don't know that they've ever done a ceramic bracelet on the...
I think this is the...
on the bathyscaphe.
Is it the first time
I've done it? I think this is a brand new... This is your watch. You don't remember. To talk about it.
I'm excited about this release. I think it's a cool release, but I don't remember if this is the first.
You know, ceramic's really cool. Yeah. Ceramic's really cool because it's super hard, way harder than steel, way harder than titanium. But I understand with that hardness comes brittleness. Are people breaking these things? Are they shattering?
I don't know. I've never done any reading into like the brittleness factor of a ceramic watch. I've never seen on Instagram, like, oh, here's my ceramic watch in 1,000 pieces.
Right, me either.
I think it's got to be a concern, but I don't think it's any more of a concern than shattering your sapphire crystal. Like, that's because sapphire's going to shatter first. And I mean, I don't think most people even treat sapphire with the delicacy that it maybe deserves.
You know, I just Googled shattered ceramic watch and pulled up, I don't know, there's a half dozen, five or six dozen pictures of different shattered ceramic watches.
Are these under stress tests or is it like, oh, I dropped it?
No, these are people's watches, right? Like, oh, I shattered my ceramic watch. I shattered my ceramic Panerai, my ceramic IWC, ceramic Speedy.
Oh gosh. That risk makes me nauseous. And the risk of shattering a $20,000 watch.
Yeah, here's a watch you seek for owners of ceramic based cased watches. What's your experience? It looks great, never been damaged. I damaged mine. Here's how it happened. This is a survey. We've got 12 votes, 92.3. Looks great, never been damaged. One vote. I damaged mine. Here's how it happened. So apparently it can happen, but
I mean, so it can happen with any watch. I mean, you drop your watch or you bang it in the wrong way and you're going to shatter your crystal.
Yeah.
And when you shatter your crystal, there's like some potential, downstream impacts on the rest of the watch.
You know, I'm looking at this complete calendar. That's a baller watch, dude.
It really is.
With that like sort of denim blue sunburst dial and the beautiful moon phase, and obviously Blancpain does great dial work.
Everything's perfect.
Yeah.
It's Blancpain. It's what we expect from them.
I'm like, if I'm gonna spend $26,000 on a watch,
I'm not. This is on the list.
God damn.
Yeah. The hand shape for the calendar on the inner track of the markers, that perfect curve that wraps around to highlight the number of the date
of the month. Yeah. The day of the month.
Everything's just perfect. It's gorgeous. The whole release line is gorgeous. And the chronograph's just a chronograph, and the 50 fathoms
don't love the automatic bathyscaphe dials. I don't like the tiny little markers. I don't like the big open space. I know that's Blancpain's thing, but I don't like it. But then looking at this busy complete calendar, I'm like, ooh.
It's because it's got the space for it too. I mean, these are big and they use that space really well.
And you know what I'm gonna say?
I don't.
Fonts. Mm. Give me some fonts, Blancpain. Yeah, no, I'm cool with it, man. That's a great watch. Good pick. I actually saw those and I was like, next.
No, I got excited. I like technology releases. Hey, we're doing something the same, but a little different.
Yep.
And that's the kind of stuff that I like to see brands do with experimenting and kind of keep them within their lane and finding ways to do it better.
Andrew, have we talked about Alcatus or Alcatus or
I think once
Alcatus?
I think one time.
I
had one of these. I don't know which one, but I've had one of their watches in for review, I believe.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Glad you remember. They've got three prior models. They've got the Dromo, which is a beautiful, like, vintage dive watch with a big stainless bezel. Great details on this thing. They've got a World Timer GMT, which is beautiful.
I think I had the Opus in.
Which, with a 9075 that came out last year. And then they've got the Opus, which... Oh, you know what, Andrew? That tracks to me. You had an Opus in. Yeah.
I don't know if it was the two, but I do recall having that in. And I recall it because I couldn't figure out how to say the name of the brand.
Yeah.
I think I settled on Alcatus.
Alcatus. Yeah. Well, so they just released through Kickstarter a watch that funded almost immediately. And this is a watch that I was like, meh. Like, it's really easy to just pass through.
Until?
And then I started reading about it. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Wait just 1 minute. So this is a 36 millimeter sport dress watch, I would say. I think this is a sport watch, but pretty dressy.
A dress sport, yeah.
In 2024, you could wear this with a suit and be pretty dang dressy, I'd say. 36 millimeter, super polished bezel with brushed accents. It does have a bit of like dimension on the side, on the case sides. A sector dial, like with even numbers represented by Arabics and dashes at the odds. But there's a whole bunch of shit going on here. So first, a Hangzhou micro router, which...
Yep, that's what got your attention.
I love.
I wish more brands were experimenting with the implementation of micro router.
Yeah, no, me too.
Especially with such an affordable movement out there. That's demonstrated to be reliable across several years of use.
Hardened case. I can't remember. It doesn't matter, but I can't remember what the hardness value is. I think a lot. 44 millimeter lug to lug, 10 and a half thick, which is fantastic. 36 millimeters with a 20 millimeter lug width. Those are, if you don't know, the classic sort of Rolex dimensions. Mm-hmm. I really like just about everything about this watch.
9 o'clock small seconds.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yes. 9 o'clock small seconds with a guilloche sort of engraving on the subdial. Great font on the Arabics. Although I will say the Arabics are pretty far out, and with the crystal... there's a lot of distortion on them unless you catch them. So in photos, there's a ton of distortion on those numerals. I'm okay with that.
Is a thing.
I am okay with that, but it's a lot. The pre-order price on these is $610. I think the retail is $750, which is a terrific price for this watch. $50% deposit if you want to buy one of these. They're shipping in September of this year.
It's just three colors. So I like the white and steel, the white and brushed steel dual color dial.
This is my favorite part about the dial colors, Andrew. Mm-hmm. I'll come back to you in just a second. It's got three dial colors, and I was looking and I was like, okay, one of them's kind of salmony, one of them's purplish, one of them's silver. And then I looked at the dial colors on the Kickstarter. It's salmon, purple, and silver.
Nice.
Thank you, Alcatus.
I don't need storied. And don't tell me a story with your dial color. Tell me what color it is.
Salmon, purple, silver.
Yeah.
That's what color it is. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So they're all dual color dials with like a matte center. So there's the white and silver with a white matte and then a silver outer ring, teal accents at the markers. The salmon is a matte salmon with a silver, with a metallic salmon outer ring, blue hands, and then the purple is...
Yeah, blue, not blued hands, to be clear.
Yeah, blue hands. And then the purple is, again, a matte center portion of the dial with a metallic purple. I don't know why they went with purple. That is... whatever. But the white is great.
It's a decision. It is a really cool purple, though. If you're into purple watches, this is a great purple.
And it's because of the contrast, right? That center, like, kind of grapey purple, and then with the metallic on it. It's a nice contrast on the dial without being flashy.
And I assume it's the same color, differentiated just by the texture. So you've got, like, a radial brushing or a circular brushing on the outside and more of, like, a media blasted on the center. I assume that's the same
purple. That is not the same purple.
I think it might be, Andrew. I don't know this, but I think it may be the same purple.
I think you're wrong.
Well, it could be.
I'm okay with also being wrong.
It's really hard to tell with the light.
I disagree with your position, though. Whatever. Yeah. The white is really good, though.
The texture plays tricks on your eyes. So, a couple things that I would change. I would make this a screw down crown, even though it's a 50 meter watch. I'd make this a screw down crown.
Yeah, just screw down the crowns, y'all.
But whatever, it's a push pull crown. That's fine. I think a lot of people prefer push pull crowns.
They make me nervous.
I would probably also do something better with the hands. So these are. I think these are enameled hands in either blue or sort of a gunmetal on the purple.
It kind of looks green on the white.
I would probably, I think it's, oh, is it green on the white?
It looks like it. Or no, I mean, it's no, blue. It's blue. Just a color. It's just a difference in the picture.
Silver. Yeah. Silver. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. That's whatever. But I would have done something. I would have liked a nicer handset on this, but that's fine. It's a $750 watch that's really dope with a hardened case. Yeah, I'm here for it, man.
Yeah, this is a good release.
I'm here for it.
All right.
That's all I've got to say about it. Hangzhou Micro Rotor.
My last thing. I saw this dial and was immediately drawn to it because it looks cool. The Resence Type 5L Diver with a luminous dial. So I saw the dial. It's a fully lumed dial. Got my attention. I started looking at it, and I don't know how to read it. It kind of has a Ming feel. It's this super specced out dive watch.
This is just the Type 5, right? It's not different than other Type 5s, is it?
Yeah, it's a Type 5. It's titanium, 46 millimeter, 100 meters of water resistance. But I beyond really liking how it looks, like as a, it's just a really cool loomed dial. I don't get it. I don't. Even studying the dial, I'm not entirely sure how to read it, which seems sort of problematic for a dive watch. I know it's not really a dive watch, right? This is a watch that you wear that is designed to be a dive appearing watch, but this isn't a watch that you would dive with, and it's $34,000. But it's super attractive. It's got this domed dial with a crown beneath it. I mean, it's a Type 5, right? We know this. It's just, it's a fascinating designed watch.
You know, it's been a really long time since I've thought about this watch. But when it came out, I was really interested in it for a minute. I understand that this is like a proprietary and perhaps even patented modification to like a 28 standard architecture, 2824
mm-hmm.
movement that uses like one of the various axles or levers in the gear train to, anyway, it's cool. Like that's what this is. This is Haute Horology. This is
yes,
Haute Horology for the sake of Haute Horology. And they're doing it in this really fun, I would say avant-garde for sure, but like whimsically avant-garde.
Yeah. And it's a two-piece case. They have one oil filled for the water resistance, I think.
Well, no, it's not just for the water resistance. It's for the visibility.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you get like 270 degrees of visibility.
Yeah, you can read this thing from underneath.
Yeah.
It's a cool designed watch. The full lume is stunning.
270 might be an exaggeration.
I don't know, man. It's certainly more than any other watch.
Yeah, it's a really cool, I think it's a really cool watch, but they are expensive. Yeah,
34,000 Swiss francs.
Yeah. Yeah, you really got to want this thing.
Or have a ton of money.
Yeah, 39,900 at the Hodinkee shop.
American money.
Yeah. Right now, yeah.
That's a steal.
Add to cart.
Mm-hmm. Just drop that black card on it, man.
Cool. Andrew, yeah. We talked about a bunch of watches. We've been going for an hour. Do you have another thing you'd like to talk about?
I do have another thing that I'd like to talk about.
What you got?
Watched a documentary this week and just saw the title and was kind of intrigued by it. It's called Hate to Love, Nickelback. And I mean, I as a 90s kid, Nickelback was a constant presence in my life as a kid. So this documentary just kind of follows the band's beginnings and then rise to stardom and they're holding at it. And it was a really interesting documentary to see these, you know, the members of the band specifically talking about the unreal backlash that they faced for like right after they became one of the highest selling bands of all time to suddenly become like the heel of the industry where people just hated them for no reason. And that to
like Creed and Nickelback.
Yeah. And to hear their experience of that and to see like how that affected them and then their bounce back. I mean, I think they're touring right now. I mean, they're this,
I think that's right. Yeah.
This enormous pillar in the industry that experienced so much hate in such a weird way. I mean, they're like a diamond selling band that everyone hates. Didn't make any sense. So that weird nuanced experience for them was really interesting to hear their like how it impacted them. And it was, I mean, it's a documentary about Nickelback, right? It can only get so interesting. But to see their to see their grind to get to where they were and then their meteoric rise and just these like Canadian fellas who were like, yeah, we were in a band and then suddenly we got big and we just kind of like hung out there and kept doing the work and people hated us, but we were like still doing the work and like selling out shows. So we're like, oh, fuck it, we'll just keep going. It was a fun watch and it was cool to see behind the scenes of something that was, and I'm not super jacked that like things from my childhood are now like documentary worthy.
You know, that's a good show idea, Andrew. Mm. Nickelback watches. Like watches that people hate for no good reason.
Oh, there's something there. Yeah. I think all the watches that we hate have a pretty significant reason. and Timex and Casio, I think, are the number one haters. Ming also gets a lot of hate, but then sells right the fuck out.
Yeah, is Ming the Nickelback of watches?
I don't think Ming is ubiquitous enough to be Nickelback.
Maybe. We'll come back to it.
Okay.
Andrew, I've got another thing.
Oh, do me.
I've got, not only do I have another thing, I have the other thing. Oh, sorry.
My other thing is available on Netflix. If you were alive in the 90s and have any memory of Nickelback, it was at least it ate an hour and a half without me looking at my watch.
Andrew, I've just taken the head cover off of my new driver.
Mm-hmm.
I decided this year, so I have spent a lot of money on golf equipment. I have two $400 watch, $400 drivers.
You have many $400 watches.
No, excuse me. I have two $400 putters, two different $400 putters. I have.
Is it because you didn't return the other one? Weren't you going to?
No, I wasn't ever. I have. I think
I have a vague memory of that story. You bought them like.
It's a story.
Yeah.
I have like $700 worth of wedges. I have like $1,000 irons. The only thing I've never really spent money on is my driver. I have up to very recently been using a Cleveland high bore driver, probably made 2003, 2002, maybe a little bit more recently than that, but not much. I think I picked it up for $40 at Play It Against Sports. I have used it. It served me well. When I hit it well, it goes really far and does good things. But to this year, I was like, you know what? I am going to get a new driver. This is the year I'm going to get a new driver. And I looked at all the drivers on the market. I tested, I think, 10 different drivers. And I went and got fitted for a Ping G430 Max 10K. The 10K refers to
how far you're going to hit it.
MOI, which is, I think, moment of inertia. And it's all about how forgiving it is. So if you miss hit your driver, which I do often, how forgiving it's going to be, how much it's going to bounce back. I tested 10 different drivers, I think, or thereabouts. And the place that I got fitted at, it has, you know, a full on simulator with all of the, you know, all of the bells and whistles to measure your, where you're hitting on the screen or on the face, where, you know.
Have you hit a ball with this yet?
I have. I have hit a lot of balls with it, and I hit them very far and very straight.
Did they tune this to you too? Because there's a lot of tuning.
So it is
points
it,
on
it,
here.
It is adjustable. So it's not as adjustable as some drivers on the market. Some of them have movable weights. This really just has an adjustment for you can put a different weight in it, but it also it just has like a phase angle. I've got this set up more or less stock. I tested
it's real neutral, yeah.
I tested some different shafts, and they've got like Ping's got like six different stock shafts that you can get. This was the one that worked the best for me. Man, I will tell you, I probably don't hit this. Well, that's not true. I did probably instantly gain about 20 yards on my drives, maybe 15.
I think just improved technology.
It's improved technology. What I did gain is I gained a proper fitting club. I would say of my drives, I probably hit 30% of them really well. I would say I probably hit 40% of them schmedium. And then, you know, what does that leave? Another 30% of mishits. With my old driver, the 30% went really straight. The schmediums were like, And then, of course, that last 30% is like, well.
I guess I'll take a drop.
What I found with this is that 40% are all salvageable. I am hitting the fairway 70 or really close to the fairway about 70% of the time. And the bad ones, unless it's really bad, are not as bad. Like it's just incredible. So
that's a proper fitting club. If you want to improve your golf game by 40%, just go get fitted for and buy clubs that actually fit you, because very few people actually golf with clubs that fit them. So their swing is all fucking weird because they're trying to compensate for an ill-fitting club. Just getting things that fit improves your game so much.
I think that's true. I think that's true. But I guess here's maybe the other part of it is, even if it was a more marginal improvement than it actually was, I think I would still do it because it was fun. I love it and I want to hit it and I'm enjoying it. The driver was never something I was pumped about taking out of the bag. And now I'm like, I want to hit my driver.
Well, now you want to pull out that ping because you want to hear it. That's got to sound so good.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. Ping have always had really weird sounding clubs. This sounds like any sort of TaylorMade or whatever. Interesting. It doesn't have any sort of characteristic ping sound, but
because they sound funny.
I just love it. I just love it. I spent way too much money on it. That's fine. Don't judge me. But I love it. I'm like, oh yeah, I want to pull out my freaking driver. Now some people like get a new driver every year. Don't do that.
Because by the time the season's over, you're finally settled into your ill-fitting golf club.
I have been using the same driver for, I don't know, 5 years. And it was a driver that I bought for $50. And I'm not saying you need to do that either, but I guess I'm trying to say I'm not a go out and buy a new driver.
I think I've had mine for about 10 years.
But I'm super glad that I bought this. I have really, really, really enjoyed playing golf because I'm like, oh, I have this new shiny driver that I want. Not to say the new stuff, but this is a Watch This podcast. We all like cool shit.
New stuff feels good.
And I love it. And I wanted to talk about it.
My driver's probably 10 years old and also from Played Against Sports.
Yeah. I finally bought a new driver.
It looks good. It looks like you haven't hit a single ball with it.
It's no huge. Marks. I cleaned it right before I came over.
It is big, but that's how big drivers are these
actually,
days.
Actually, if you look carefully, you can see where my miss hit is.
Oh yeah. Well, it's just a little bit on the toe.
Yeah. I get a little toey.
That's okay. Yeah.
That's my miss hit.
It's so light. Your swing speed had to go up so much. Going from a shitty old driver to this.
You know, with my Cleveland, I think I was at, I don't know, 97. And I think with this, I'm at like 98.5.
Really?
So, yeah. It's an increase. Yeah. But it's not crazy. So
you figure shaving 8 ounces off would give you a little bit more. But
Andrew, that's all I got.
Well, that's all I got. We've done it again. A perfect episode.
Hey folks, you thanks for joining us for this episode of 40 and 20 the Watch Clicker podcast. Do me a favor, go to the website. That is watchclicker.com. That's where we post articles and reviews and other things of import. We also post every single episode of this podcast on that website. If you want to check us out on social media, you can do that on Instagram at 40and20_watchclicker or at watchclicker. That's where we post updates about what we're doing on the website. And if you'd like to support us, because we really hope you do, you can do that at patreon.com/40and20. That's where we get the money we need to keep this ship afloat.
Mm-hmm.
Patreon.com/40and20. Drop a buck. And otherwise, don't forget to tune back in next Thursday for another hour of watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like.
Bye-bye.